Hey, everybody. Good morning. How about a hand for Ryan Bossler? What do you guys say? That guy faithfully serves our church in so many ways. I just want him to know that Merry Christmas, buddy. My name is Ed Travers, teaching pastor here at LifePoint in Westerville. If you are a guest here, I just want to say a great big welcome to you. I'm super excited about our Christmas series, about Christmas, all that's going on. There is one little thing I want to let you guys know, something you can do with those cards is you can actually take a picture of that and you could text it to people in your phone Rolodex. I had another family come up to me, and what they did is they made cookies, 16 batches of cookies for all their neighbors, and they put a LifePoint invite card right on the cookies. So I've been handing them out to strangers. It's really fun when you go up to a stranger and hand them a card, and they usually look at you like, thanks? You know, I mean, here's the thing. The majority of people in Westerville, the overwhelming majority, do not go to church. They're not connected to a church. It doesn't mean they don't want God, though. What typically is they just not, it's just not their habit. They're not connected to one. And studies show that if you invite someone to church, they're much more likely to go. So want to let you all know, Christmas Eve, you can invite someone to come to service, and you never know what might happen. At the very least, I think that they'll be blessed. I had a person say to me one time, you know, when I go to church, I feel good. I said, that's because God is good. And when you draw near to God, you get to sense some of the goodness of God. So I want to let you guys know that you know, Christmas Eve is a big deal. I hope you're all praying for that. We're excited for it. So here's the thing. I have wondered myself, and I wonder if you've wondered, about times in your life when you feel like God has broken through to your life. You ever feel like that? Like there's a moment in time when, you know, the supernatural kind of invades the natural world, and God comes in, and he just connects to you, and you just get a sense that God just broke through. You ever have one of those? I want to tell you about one that happened to me that made, like, the hair stand up on the back of my neck, okay? So several years ago, I was in my mid-30s, and I was a full-time pastor. I was running a business on the side to make ends meet. I was going to school at the time, and I had two little kids. One was a newborn, and one was 2 years old, and obviously I'm married. So I had a lot going on, all right? And what I felt like was, and maybe you felt like this, I felt like I had a million plates in the air I was trying to juggle, and I felt like I wasn't doing good at any of them. Right? So I was seeking out some people in my life and saying, hey, what do you think I need to do? And, you know, they were praying for me. And one of them suggested, hey, I want you to go get this book by a guy named Andy Stanley, who's a pastor. And the book's title is called Choosing to Cheat. I'm like, well, that's kind of weird. He goes, it's not what you think, Ed. It's a book about how when you're overtaxed with life, you're cheating somebody. You always feel like you're cheating somebody to do what you're doing. You need to figure out how to cheat well, how to prioritize well. I'm like, that sounds like a great book. This is just what I need. So I went to the bookstore, and here's something you need to know about me is that I'm also cheap. I don't like to spend money on myself, and I feel like this would be a great system. You get 11 buddies, everyone gets a book for the year, and then when you're done, every month you just flip it around. That way you only have to buy one book. That would be a great system. We're not the brightest, but we're a lovely church. Nevertheless, I want to feel like when I go to a bookstore, I want to feel like someone has recommended, because I just get overwhelmed. So I go to the bookstore, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to find the book by Andy Stanley. And I go into the bookstore, and I go up to the major section, and there's the Andy Stanley books, and I start reading through, and it's not there. And he's got like 10 books there, and none of them are the book I'm looking for. So then I start looking around at the other books, and again, I feel overwhelmed. Like, how do I know this one's good? And because I don't want to spend $20 on a new book if it's not good, like, I just feel, like, overwhelmed. I'm like, I'm not even going to buy a book. So then I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll go back to the clearance section. That's more my speed, right? You go back there, and there's, like, 3 8-foot tables, and it looks like there's 1,000 books, and they're all jammed in tight, you know, and you're like, you'd really have to study, like, and look at them. But I'm thinking, maybe I can find a book back there. But on the way back, here's what I did. I prayed. I said, God, here's what I'm asking you to do. Would you guide my eyes to see the book that you will pick out for me, that you will speak to my heart about, that will be good for me? Amen. I opened my eyes, and the first book I saw was this one. $5. $5. And I'm going like, nobody saw it. I've got the book in my hand. I'm like looking around like, did anyone else see that? And no one knows what I'm like, please. God broke through, and no one's looking. Now I'm sharing it with you. Anyway, so sometimes there are moments when I feel like God is breaking through. And here's the thing, you know, Christmas, The series we're in is called Away from the Manger. And the idea behind the series is this, is that Christmas is just the beginning, right? It's not just a baby in a manger, that Jesus, right? And Christmas is a reminder that God broke through. There's never been another point in time when God wrapped himself with flesh as a baby to break through to our world. That's what Christmas is all about. He broke through. The problem is, and I don't know if you're like me, but when I think of Christmas, what I think about is Christmas songs, holiday gatherings. I think about my kids opening gifts. I think about family. I think about all of the things, the nostalgic, traditional things about Christmas. And I don't know that I necessarily connect to Christ, because the truth is, I really don't connect to babies that well. I don't. And I love the idea that God would put himself in a vulnerable state like that. But it's hard for me sometimes. And yet, I believe there's something in the story of Christmas where God is trying to break through to us, something about his nature and about who he is. And so as I've been studying this section, that's really how God's been speaking to me. But as I'm sharing that with you today, that's my hope and my prayer, is that God will show us that even through the story of Mary, that God is trying to break through to us. So if you have a Bible, open it up to Luke chapter 1. I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to kind of dig in, all right? Father, I believe that you have us all here for a reason, and that there's a purpose, and I pray, God, that you would speak through your word and through your Holy Spirit. Help us to understand something about you and how you're wanting to speak to us personally. I ask that in your son's holy name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you have a listening guide, open it up. You can follow along. I'm going to say some things as we're going through. You can follow along in the app or on the screens, but we're in Luke chapter 1. The first thing I'm going to say is this, is that God favored Mary. God favored Mary. In context, here's what's happened. There's a priest named Zechariah. Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth are kind of getting up there in years. They're beyond childbearing years, and she's never had a baby. They've always wanted a kid. They can't have a kid. The angel Gabriel, who's mentioned four times in Scripture, God sends Gabriel to go to Zechariah and tell him, you're going to have a baby. He's going to be a boy. You're going to name him John. You and I know that boy as John the Baptist. He grew up and he led many people towards God. Like, he turned people's hearts towards God, and more so, he paved the way for Christ. Right? So that's in context of what's happening. And here's the verse we're going to look at, verse 26 in chapter 1 of Luke. Here's what it says. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth. That's 6 months into Elizabeth's pregnancy. Okay? Verse 27. Sent to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Now, I have to be honest with you. If God sent an angel to talk to me, the first thing I'd want to hear is, "God has favored you, Ed. You have found favor with God." There's a lot of things you could hear from God if God is going to break through. There's a lot of things I wouldn't want to hear, but that's the first thing I'd want to hear. "God favors you, Ed. It's all good," right? That's what God was breaking through to Mary. "Hey, you have found favor with God." Now, I looked up favor and what it means in that context, and here's what it basically means. God noticed you. Mary, God sees you. Out of all the people, he sees you. He has noticed your life. He's noticed you. He's found favor in you. He likes you. I think that's important, because a lot of times, you know, when it's real easy to kind of get caught up in religious behavior and say, okay, we're all together Christians and we're all here, and feel like you're just part of a crowd and not realize that God actually personally wants a relationship with you. This is personal. Yes, are there 7 billion people or so on the earth? Yes. And yet God wants a personal relationship with you. That's crazy to me. I mean, I have trouble connecting to everyone in our church. And yet God somehow wants to connect to every person. Why? I honestly believe the most incredible thing in the world is that God actually cares that much. I have been a sports fan my whole life. I like music. I like movies. I have never in my life had my favorite athlete or actor or singer write me a letter and say, "Ed, I just wanted you to know, thank you for cheering me on. When I'm getting ready to hit a three, I can feel you right there with me. Ed, I couldn't do it without you." Never had him. Never had a singer call me. Never had someone retweet me. If someone like followed something I said and said, Ed, I just want to thank you, I would be like, are you serious? I would take a picture of that and I would hang it on my wall. But we're talking about the person who invented DNA, who literally thought up all of this, breaking through to your life and wants a personal relationship with you. That's crazy. And yet that is what we see right here with Mary. I'll give you a couple of examples that I've seen just recently that I thought were mind-blowing to me. Let me share. It really happened last week and just a couple weeks prior. We had a service last week. If you were here last Sunday, we had a baptism service during the first service, and a guy named Mark got baptized, 65-year-old guy, right? He spent his life believing in God, but he had never made a decision to become a follower of Christ until recently, and so he wanted to go public with his faith and be baptized. Right? So that's pretty cool. Also, it has to connect with another person named Katie. So Katie and Randy have been coming to our church really kind of since it started. They started, right after we launched the church, they started coming as guests. And typically, I get to meet people when I'm walking around and I see them. And so I had shaken hands with them and said hello, but I didn't remember their names. We were at that kind of stage in our friendship, let's say. And at that time, I was on a Sunday after service, I was following my buddy Jared Jackson. Jared is a connections director for our church, and we were going to a meeting, and he was going to drive to the meeting. So we're leaving the building, and I'm following him out, and we're going in one direction. He's going in front of me. I'd never been in his car, so I didn't know a car he drove, but I'm following him, and I'm just going to jump in the passenger side. So we're heading in this direction. The problem was that someone way over here said hello to me, so I'm like, hey, what's going on? I'm talking to him. I turn around, Jared's gone. But the car right in front of me, I'm like, he must have gotten that car. So I go up to the car, I open the door, and I jump in, and there's Katie. And Katie goes, well, hey, Ed. I went, hey. I'm thinking, she's never coming back to our church. She's never. This is great. I broke out in a sweat. But here's the thing. They did come back, and they're fine. And I've been able to tease them about it, and they tease me about it. We actually were at a wedding where we got to hang out together, and I got to go have coffee with Randy. Great couple. Well, let me tell you how this whole thing connects, okay? Now, I had talked to Mark prior, and Mark and I, we've had conversations where I would share the gospel with him, and he's talking about what's going on in his life, and I never got the sense that he was ready to fully commit to Christ, but there was something holding him back I didn't understand. Well, I guess like 3 or so weeks ago, after the end of a service, or at the beginning of the service, when we shake hands, all that kind of stuff, evidently, Randy and Katie went up to say hi to Mark, and they shook hands, and they had some kind of interaction. Well, whatever was the interaction, after the service, Randy and Katie came up to me and said, hey, who's that guy over there? I said, that guy, that's Mark Richter. And they're like, hey, thank you. We're going to be praying for him. I'm like, okay. And so they just committed to be praying for Mark. I'm like, well, that's pretty cool. About a week or 10 days later, it's the night of the Ohio State-Wisconsin game, right? It's before halftime. I remember specifically because I was thinking, oh, man, this does not look good for Ohio State. And I get a call from Mark. And so now Mark and I are talking. And Mark is, like, super excited. I'm like, what is going on, man? He's like, Ed, the greatest thing ever has happened. I'm like, what happened? He goes, it hit me. I'm like, what hit you? He goes, I realized I spent my whole life believing I'm just not good enough for God. And I all this shame and all everything is going to hold me back from God. And I realized it doesn't matter. And he goes, it's because it's all about Jesus. It's about what he did. It's not about me. Don't you realize? And he starts sharing the gospel with me. Like, I've never heard it before. And he's like, Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, man. It's he covered for all of our sin. It doesn't matter what I've done. And you know what, Ed? He's like, I'm 65 years old. You know what? I think God still has a plan for my life. He goes, I don't know how many people I can help. Maybe I can help one person. But I feel like God has a plan for my life. I'm like, I agree with you, Mark. And he's going on. He's so excited. He goes, I want to get baptized. I'm like, well, we have one. We could do one in December, but we could wait till January. He goes, you know what? I want to do it now. I'm like, okay, we'll do it. No problem. I mean, he was so excited. And I could see that genuinely what hit him was the God of the universe broke through and illuminated his mind and his heart the reality of the gospel, that we are free in Christ because of the cross. That's incredible news. And he finally got it. God broke through. But let me tell you how it connects to Katie. So I text Randy and Katie immediately. I'm like, you're not going to believe this, but the guy you're praying for, he's getting baptized. I mean, and they were like, what? what service? Just tell us when. We want to be there. I'm like, okay, so we connected all that. Anyway, at the end of the service, and if you were here last week, you know, at the end of the service, I had everyone pray. And when they were praying, I said, hey, I want you to, when you're praying, I want you to envision looking up at the cross and imagine Jesus on the cross. And remember what Jesus said, that forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And I was just trying to help y'all connect to the Lord. And so I asked people to pray that prayer. All right. So then I go back after the service, and there's, you know, there's Katie, and Katie has clearly been crying, right? And you know, she comes up to me, and she's, you know, she squeezes me. I thought my head was going to pop off. Like, she just squeezes me. And she had been over to see Mark, and she was so excited to see him. And she says, she goes, Ed, she goes, it's so great to see what God's doing in his life, but that prayer. I said, what? She goes, that prayer. When you asked me to pray, I just closed my eyes and I just talked to the Lord, and I envisioned him up there on the cross, and I just sensed in my spirit him saying to me, Katie, I did that for you. She lost it. I'm like, you know what? God broke through the power of his Holy Spirit to speak to her heart. I believe God wants to do that with every one of us all the time. Christmas is a great reminder that God sent his son down to break through so that you and I could have a relationship with him through Christ. And by the Holy Spirit, he wants to illuminate things in our heart and mind all the time. I mean, it's amazing because we found favor because he loves us. Second thing I want to share is this, is that God has a way of interrupting our plans. God has a way of interrupting our plans. Here's what happens, verse 31, after she's, you know, she hears this from Gabriel. Here's what he says. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing will be impossible with God. I think that's amazing. But I want you to just envision Mary in that moment. Here she is. She's a teenage girl. And depending on what you know, person you read, what history person writes, it's hard to tell exactly how old she is. But typically, here's what would happen to a young Jewish girl. Once she becomes of age physically, not long after, she would be betrothed to somebody, and then she would become married not long after that. So she could have been a teenage girl, much like any teenage girl in your family. I have two teenagers, a 13 and a 15-year-old girls. And when I think about them, they have their whole lives in front of them. And they have all kinds of dreams of what they want to do. And it changes constantly, right? And because they're discovering the world. And I'm so thrilled with them and what God's doing in them. But they are developing a lot, right? They're changing. And then I think, that's Mary? Young teenage girl? Has her whole life in front of her? And the angel comes and says, you're going to be pregnant? And she's thinking, how's that going to work? Like, what do you mean I'm becoming pregnant? And he explains it to her. It's going to be a God thing, Mary. But do you know what this means for her? On one hand, you're carrying, like, God in a bod. Like, you're carrying Jesus. And she would have known this verse, Isaiah 7. I mean, all good Jewish people were raised to know these verses. In Isaiah 7, 14, 700 years before Christ, here's what Isaiah wrote. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. The name Jesus means Savior. We're talking about God being with us to be our Savior. You're carrying him. She would have known that. But do you also know what this means? She's engaged to be married to Joseph. And how's she going to explain that? In the law, you could be stoned for that. You could be killed. At very least, you're going to be embarrassed. And where are you going to go that someone's not going to do math, right? You ever have people like that in your life? And you're like, now, wait a second. I don't, all right, hey, everyone's got a past. Like, but in that culture, you are literally ostracized. That's what she's taking on. And she's got her plans. She has her plan in life. She's got her dreams. She's going to marry Joseph, and this is going to be her life. And then all of a sudden, God breaks in and interrupts her life with a plan that is not exactly the easiest plan. It would have been a tough one. Great and yet tough all at the same time. I believe that God wants to use every one of us for a plan that he has for us. Every one of us in the room. God made you for a purpose. In Colossians, it says, all things are made by him and for him. That means if you were made, and you're here and breathing, you were made by God on purpose for his purposes. This is the problem that I experience, and I'm guessing you do too. I have an idea of how my life should go. I have a plan of my preferred future that I believe this is the way it should go. And sometimes God brings things into my life that conflict with my plan. And sometimes I'm so connected to my plan, I don't even want to hear what God has to say. You ever struggle with that? Some people, they're the kind of people that, like, you're a planner. Like, you have everything detailed, right? You know what's going to happen 3 years from now on a Tuesday because you're that person. Like, you have it planned out. Some people are more go with the flow, but you still have a preferred future of what you want to do, right? But sometimes God brings something into our life that interrupts that plan. It could be another person that's come in that God wants us to influence. It could be something that happens to us that's really difficult to deal with, and God wants to use that thing on purpose. It could be a new job, a family member. There's so many things that God uses in our life that he interrupts our plan. I want to share with you about a family that this past year has been one of the most difficult years of their life, but one of the best years of their life, because God interrupted their life in such a way that dramatically has changed the course of their future. I'm going to share a picture with you of this family. So many of you know them. This is Brian and Allison and Quinn. And Quinn this year has had a real battle. So back in February of this year, they were kind of new to our church and had been coming and involved in a life group, and they wanted to serve, and she auditioned to be part of the worship team. When she auditioned, they chose to put her up on stage, and she debuted on a Sunday. I'll never forget when she debuted, because when she sang, everyone in the audience went, "Oh, man, wow." I remember specifically someone saying to me, "She's got energy." Like, you know, we all were, like, blown away by the gift that God had given her to help in that, and that was on a Sunday. On a Friday, she and Brian got word that Quinn was diagnosed with cancer. And this year has been an incredibly difficult year for them. I remember Mark Shields and I going over to the hospital and seeing them in the hospital. And they had a look on their face, which I can only characterize as that's the look you have on your face when your kid gets cancer. Because I've never seen it before like that. The fear and the overwhelmed sense in their eyes was unlike anything I'd ever seen. But I knew they were in for it, and we prayed. We had no idea what the future was going to be, but this is the kind of thing that interrupts your life. This past Sunday after service, I was eating with my two daughters and my wife, and we were having dinner. And I said, "All right, hey, let's go around the circle here and tell us what's been the highlight of your week." Right? And so Abby, my oldest, said something, and Tammy and I said something, and it got around to Carly, my youngest, and Carly got a big grin on her face. You know, and she looks up and she goes, "I know what my highlight is." I said, "Carly, what's your highlight of the week?" She goes, "Quinn has hair growing back." And she just beamed, you know? Because here's the thing. We've been praying for Quinn a lot in our family. I know the life group has been praying for the Stevens family. We're all as invested as we can be on the outside of them, right? And right now, things are looking really good, and we're hoping, and everyone's praying that this is going to be a past tense issue for Quinn, right? And she's close, right? But the mark that it's left on their life is a forever mark. And so I sent them a message this week. I said, "Hey, can you guys tell me, you got an interruption. I believe it was a holy interruption this week. Or this year." I said, "I want to share about that on Sunday. Can you tell me just how you've kind of experienced this holy interruption, and what words would I share with the body?" And here's what I got back in text. So what they said. "In this interruption, I learned very quickly a new sense of trust, reliance, and surrender. I learned during this interruption the heart of God, who he really is and how his work is never wasted. The God I know now is much different than my understanding prior. Learning about God and his desires on his personal level, his attributes, and his heart were a beautiful learning opportunity during this season. I got to see the compassionate God that I have never experienced quite like before. I learned who my God actually is at the absolute core and how his works are a demonstration of love and sacrifice. He is well aware of my pain, experiences the pain right along with me, and will redeem me from it. We constantly had to remind ourselves that he sees the bigger picture. We learned to trust him fully, to surrender to him fully every single day. Take things minute by minute and often second by second. Every time we laid things at his feet, he was there, right with us. He always gave us what we needed exactly when we needed it. Someone reaching out, a phone call, a meal, a visit, a scripture, a song. The list would go on, but it fed our souls and rejuvenated us, encouraged us exactly when we needed it. In the crushing moments at time, he refined us. He would constantly demonstrate and actively show us he is right there with us. It kept our spirits calm so we can focus and what was needed to get Quinn on her feet. He diminished our worry and anxiety, which allowed us to be present with Quinn, be ourselves, and not allow her to see fear, but to demonstrate to her that God prevails, that he has her, he will not let us falter, for fear has no place where God stands, and we're not going to be scared, therefore she doesn't have to be either. This interruption taught us to realign our priorities and to truly trust God in absolutely everything, which, to be frank, we did a poor job of prior. In this interruption, he gave us a deep gift of a deeper, more mature faith, something I've never experienced prior, a beautiful testimony of his love and faithfulness, and a spiritual well that I pray will continue to deepen and to overflow onto others in his name. God has a way of interrupting our plans. And he wants to use our lives, use our pain, use our elation. I think what's going on in the Stevens family will spill out for generations. And people are going to hear about the name of God through their lives because they know God. For them, this experience was about deepening a relationship with the Lord. And we don't know the rest of the story, what all that God might do. We do know now that God used this for a purpose. This is the thing, though. And this is the last thing I just want to share from the sermon here, is that Mary truly understands Christmas. In a way that I don't think I'll ever understand, in a way that we won't. Because if Mary were here, she would understand something about Christmas that you and I would not get. Here's how she responds. I just want you to hear this. Here's how she responds to this whole request of God. Verse 38, and Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Her response was, "Okay, I'm a servant of the Lord. I'm already there. I've already decided in my mind that I serve God. So let it be according to his word. No problem." I believe that she had already made up her mind. And then when God wanted to interrupt her life and had it revealed a plan, her natural reaction was, "Of course, let's do it." I mean, if you continue to read on in Luke, you see her song of joy that God is using her life. But this is a reality for me, and maybe this is just my struggle, but my guess is this is everybody's struggle. I have my plan, and if God comes to me and affirms my plan, I'm all in. Let's go. Yeah. But if God comes to me and has a plan other than the plan that I have preferred, I'm usually like, I mean, maybe we should confirm this somehow, God. Like, you want me to love my neighbor? My neighbor is a jerk. Like, how could you possibly want me to do that? Like, you want me to invite, you want me to serve at LifePoint Kids? You want me to do what? I have all kinds of things that interrupt my plan. I'm guessing you do too. Sometimes we can be so tight with our plans and our preferred future that we wouldn't even hear God. So why would God speak to us? Because we're holding on to our plan so tight. He'd have to pry our fingers off of it. And yet, I think with Mary, there's something Mary understands about Christmas. Because for her, it wasn't holiday tradition. It wasn't songs or gatherings and food. It was the God of the universe breaking through to her and letting her know, I have a plan for you. And she simply said, let it be as you say, because I belong to you. I'm your servant. That's incredible. I want to share with you guys a quick story. So there's this guy in my life. This several years ago. This young guy, mid-20s, and he had felt like he wanted to be in a church, like work for a church someday. And so he wanted me to mentor him. And of course, I'm like, okay, sure. So I met with him, and you know, I tried to guide him a little bit and kind of shape him and do all those kind of things. And one day, we're having a conversation. He was struggling with something. And so in this conversation, he says to me, you know, I've really got some struggles in my life I'm working through. What should I do? I said, what's your struggle? He said, well, here's the thing. And he had moved back in with his parents. His parents were elderly, and they were, you know, they had some medical issues. And so he kind of had to do a lot for them. He was taking care of things that, you know, it's just hard for any son to take care of their parents the way that he had to do it. And so he was kind of worn down, a little bit frustrated. And he goes, and more than that, he goes, my mom's nagging me to, like, rake the leaves. I'm like, okay. He's like, yeah, she's been just nagging me to rake the leaves. And, you know, she's just on me again and again and again. She wants me to rake the leaves. I'm like, well, why don't you just rake the leaves? And he goes, well, Ed, half the leaves are still on the trees. So if I rake the leaves now, you know, I'm just going to have to do it again when those fall. So I'm thinking, I'm like, okay. I said, well, can I give you some advice? He's like, yeah. I said, wear gloves. He said, what do you mean? He goes, I said, listen, if you're not used to raking leaves, when you rake all the leaves all over your yard and you pile them all up and you get rid of them, put them in bags, whatnot, you could develop like calluses on your hands or even blisters or whatnot. Wear gloves. It'll protect them because I guarantee you when you go to rake the second time, your hands are going to hurt. So trust me, wear gloves the first time and that'll protect you the second time. He looked at me and said, are you kidding? I said, no. He goes, man, Ed, raking is for suckers. I have a leaf blower. I still don't know what to say to that. And it's real easy for me to judge him, but here's the reality. There are times when I think God's trying to nag me about something, and I'm going, I just don't want to do that. I just don't. I would much rather just stick to my plan. I mean, I think in everybody's journey in their faith, we have to come to a point when we recognize God is the God of the universe, and he has a purpose for our life, and our job is to see ourselves as his servant of the Lord and say, yes, sir. I can tell you about one of the most significant moments in my entire life came. I mean, obviously, the moment I recognized Jesus, that was a big moment for me. The moment I said, yes, I'm in, I raised my hand, that was a big moment for my life. And I remember, you know, serving God and trying to honor God, but there was, you know, getting married, having two kids, those are big moments, but a moment, probably one of the most significant moments of my life happened in connection with my brother. I have a brother who was an alcoholic for 10 years of his life. During those 10 years, his life, you know, was just constant addiction and everything to do with addiction, a lot of brokenness. And he grew up like me. He would have said he was a Christian. He went to church. He knew all the information I knew. But he was just riddled in addiction. And I didn't have a good relationship at the time. But I had prayed for him and given up, and I'd prayed for him and I'd given up, and I'd prayed for him and I'd given up. I mean, this was going on and on and on for a decade. And out of the blue, he calls me and says, hey, Eddie, will you come over and hang out with me? I'm like, yeah, man. So I go sit down with him, and he's like, let me tell you something. His face looked different. Like, his face looked different. He was, like, glowing. And I said, man, what's going on? He goes, I gave my life to Christ. I'm like, what? And he goes, yeah, I've been clean for 30 days. I'm like, what happened? He goes, I was at my worst, and I felt the hand of the Lord on my shoulder, and I gave him my life. I took his hand. I'm like, so you felt like the hand of the Lord on your shoulder? He goes, yep. I'm like, okay. He took the hand of the Lord. He goes, he's been clean for 30 days. He starts telling me everything that's happened in his life. He goes, I read my Bible everywhere. It's in everywhere. I just read it everywhere. And he looked completely different. And I went home, and Tammy, we were newlyweds at the time. And I look at her, and she goes, what happened? She's sitting on the couch. I got on my knees, and I looked up at her, and I tried to explain it to her, and I couldn't talk. I mean, I was just overwhelmed. All the years I had prayed, Everything I had done to try to convince him to follow Jesus. I mean, and God, in 1 second, opened his heart and changed him. I mean, he's been clean. It's been now, 25 years. And I'm just blown away by what God's done in his life. But that moment changed, and here's what changed. This is what changed in my soul. From that up to that point, here's what my relationship with God consisted of. I wanted to act like a strong Christian so that I would get God's favor. I figured if I would eliminate enough sin, if I would read my Bible enough, if I would read enough books to be able to share Christ, if I would start enough Bible studies, then maybe God would go, I have found favor in you, Ed. I just didn't understand. But in that moment when I saw God work in my brother's life, I realized, you know what? I don't really care anymore. I just want to be where God's at. And I said to God, all right, God, if you say push a broom, I will do it with joy. Well, from now on, God, if you want me to be a janitor, I'm all in. And that is the most significant moment in my relationship with Christ outside of understanding the gospel, because he's changed my future. He changed my direction in life. I think in all of us, in this journey of faith, there has to come a time in our life when we realize, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me as your word has said. Wherever you're at, I just want to say to you, you're probably like me, that there's probably plans that we have, and God might want to be interrupting those plans, but we have to submit. And there could be a lot of reasons why we want to hang on, right? But I believe, and I think I would reiterate from those whose words I share today, it is more valuable simply to follow the direction of God because of what he's trying to do in and through your life. If you're here and you feel like there's been a barrier between you and God, like it's time to let go of those things. If you're here and you've never made a decision to become a follower of Christ, maybe religion's been something you've done, and it's time to submit your heart, you should do that. Let this Christmas time be the most important time you've ever had. So let's do this. Let's stand and pray together. And as I'm praying, I want you to pray. If you're wanting to know like a next step for your life, or maybe there's people in your life you would like some prayer for, I'm just going to ask that as we start to sing, just head back to the next steps area and just find someone back there. They'll pray for you, maybe hand you a resource. If you feel like you need kind of a boost, maybe we have some books back there we'll give you for free. But just in this moment, I want you guys to pray. So close your eyes and bow your head. Just start talking to God. If there's been a barrier between you and God, maybe it's something that you have a plan that you've been hanging on to, or maybe it's something, a wound that you've had, and you've just had trouble trusting God. Whatever it is, I just want you to say to God, God, this has been a barrier I have up between you and I. And just talk to him about that. From your heart to his, just start talking to him. He already knows what it is, but it helps to just tell God, God, this is what this barrier is, and just tell him. I would suggest right now, whatever that barrier is, whether it's a past wound or maybe it's a plan or it could be anything. And just take that and literally lay it at the feet of God and say, God, this is yours now. This barrier is yours. I'm going to trust you with it. If you're here and you've never made a decision to just give your heart to Christ, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. You simply say to God, God, I believe in you. Just tell him that. God, I believe in you. I believe that you sent your son down to die on the cross to pay for sin. I believe he died and he rose again. I believe that. Just tell him that. Maybe you've always believed that, but just tell him right now, God, I believe that. But this part you need to own by saying to God, God, I also recognize that my sin is a problem. I have sinned against you. I've lived life my way. Just tell God that. And ask God for forgiveness. Because Jesus is alive, what you can do right now is say, Jesus, I'm asking you to be my Savior, to save me from my sins, to forgive me. And then say, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord. Could I follow you, God? Can I give you my life? Just offer it to him right now. Just say that from your heart to God right now. You need to know that when you make that decision, the cross was all that you needed to make this happen, because Jesus did that for you. that your step of faith is what connects you to God. Just in this spirit of prayer right now, I'm going to ask for one thing from you if you just prayed that prayer. Jesus said, if you acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. If you don't acknowledge me, I won't acknowledge you. There's something about the public declaration of it. I just want to give you an opportunity. If you just prayed that prayer, that you acknowledge Jesus, that you just ask him to be your Savior, between you and me and the Lord, just by raising your hand up. If that's you in this room, just raise your hand up so I can see. I have a habit, Lord, of sometimes interpreting what you might want through what I want. And God, I just think, as I've been studying this passage, that I want to be a person who readily says, you are the Lord and I'm your servant. God, help me to recognize it. I pray for everyone in this room that you would make us into a church body of people who say yes to you, that you would use our lives to impact the kingdom, that other people would come to know you by our obedience to you. I pray, Lord, for those who are struggling with things that are hard, that you've interrupted their life with difficult things. God, I pray you meet them with mercy and grace. God, they have prayer requests. I pray you would meet them in their prayer requests. I'm praying you wouldn't waste a thing. You wouldn't waste any pain. You wouldn't waste any diagnosis. But God, use our lives for your purposes. God, for those in the room that are right on the cusp with you, Lord, I pray you would meet them there and help them take steps. God, I pray that this would be a season of their life where they just sense in a special way just who you are. Help their hearts to come alive in you. And God, we pray that your name would be honored in our lives, God. We ask all that in your Son's holy name. Amen.